I am Frank Vaughn. It's March 24th, 2026. The thunder crash is gone somewhere. The lightning effect from the open is also gone and missing. I don't know why. I continue to work on setting up the new studio rig, which I feel lucky and blessed to have secured because, as I said in my last video, I think tech shortages are something we may have to get used to for a while, and not just because of AI. But I wanted to check in before I continue another long day in finishing this process with where we left off. This is from yesterday. I made a tweet just so I had a record of it and I could get into it in the next video. The summary of events so far today: Trump folded, then once again lied through his teeth to manipulate markets. This was at the market open Monday morning, where he said peace talks were underway and everything is fine. Oil opened up a little bit and then it crashed $10. The thing that I find fascinating is that markets still believe Donald Trump. They treat his word like gold, which is kind of shocking because we can make a long list since the start of this conflict of where he's been wrong or where he's completely misled the public. Remember when he said the launch capacity of Iranian missiles was completely diminished? They're firing more every day now than they did at the beginning of the war. Remember when they told us the war would be over in a couple days tops, that there would be a spontaneous revolution? That never happened. I have to ask people, at what point, again, do events, do actions, do the things that you can see rather than the things that are said, when do they matter and when do they invalidate your thesis and when do you update your worldview? Anything involving Kushner and Steve Witkoff can pretty much be dismissed as pure narration at this point. The amazing thing is somehow it still works because apparently Kushner and Witkoff were talking to the Iranians. They weren't. And if we recall, they came back to the United States with these fantastic stories of the Iranians bragging about how much nuclear material they had and how many missiles they could build. But what they didn't report was what the Omanis reported, which was the Iranians were willing to give it all up under American supervision for the first time. So that's another thing. We're talking about Trump. He keeps repeating, Iran cannot have a nuclear weapon. Well, for 40 years, Iran didn't get a nuclear weapon. And on the eve of the bombing campaign, they were willing to give up everything they have. So it's just another myth. And my friend Mike McMillan, Mike McMullen, a veteran, it's subjective. Iran says it's going to do something, and 10 out of 10 times it happens, it becomes more credible than starting a war and claiming victory after 48 hours. I said 100% this. Trump administration, everybody in the Trump administration, say things that are proven not to be true far more often than not. That's just the reality of it so far. I would report differently if that wasn't the reality. They keep making claims that are false, whereas the Iranians keep making claims and making good on those claims. It's not a matter of taking Iran's side over the United States side. It's not a matter of loving the Ayatollahs. It's not a matter of ignoring the human rights abuses of the Iranian regime. Though I have to ask, why is it that I can talk about those abuses in my work, that I can talk about them, but the people who accuse me of carrying Iranian water are not capable of talking about all of the civilians being killed, the 80,000 structures, residential civilian structures that have been targeted and damaged in Iran, all the schools that have been bombed and damaged, all the hospitals that have been bombed and damaged. What's happening right now in Lebanon? That's not the article I want. Where's the article I want? I want this article. Smotrich calls for annexation of southern Lebanon. Now, I might be wrong about this. I think this is the same guy who talked about building the so-called smart city concentration camp for all of the Palestinians that have had their homes destroyed in Gaza. Remember, on the ashes of Rafah, they want to build this city and herd them all in there. And then Trump and his peace board are going to plan how to develop one of the most beautiful coastal regions in the Mediterranean after all of that. And it wasn't me saying that. The Israeli government said they wanted to build this concentration camp. They didn't call it a concentration camp, though, of course. They called it something else. They called it a nice, smart city. But that's what it is. It's also ethnic cleansing, folks. I don't want to call it genocide because it's not genocide. They haven't killed every single Palestinian. There's not millions of dead Palestinians just yet. But when you pick people up from their homes, you destroy their homes, and you move them forcibly into a concentration camp, that's called ethnic cleansing. That is cleansing the land of the ethnicity that lives there. Literal definition. And now They're doing the same thing in Lebanon. I talked about this weeks ago, but now they're formalizing. Smotrich, the finance minister in Netanyahu's government, calls for the annexation of southern Lebanon. You may recall from previous videos talking about the Tani River and how they've uprooted now. It's up to 1.2 million Lebanese, one in five. They've basically said, you need to get up, you need to walk north. We don't care how you're fed, we don't care where you're housed. If you don't just leave, we're probably going to kill you. And then they go in and they level the villages. And so they've moved all of these people out of southern Lebanon. And now they're fighting this battle with Hezbollah. And they're saying they're not going to let those people back in. I predicted this. They're going to annex southern Lebanon. Meanwhile, as well, I don't even have an article up about this, but I wanted to address it. And so off the top of my head, I'm going to address it right now. What is happening in the West Bank? Israeli settlers are running wild, killing, maiming, beating Palestinians in their homes. What has the West Bank done to anybody in this conflict? They've been fairly quiet, as they have been all but formally annexed. They didn't engage in armed resistance as the Gaza war raged, or while this Iranian war raged, and yet they are suffering too, and everybody's ignoring it. And maybe it's just the fact that there's so much going on, so many different facets to cover. People just don't have the attention span or time. But let's at least proceed today through a few things that are important. Conflicting messages undermine Trump's talk of progress towards Iran deal. This is an extension to how we began. Trump said there was all kinds of talks going on, and he said he didn't want to name who he was talking to because he didn't want to get him killed. And meanwhile, the Iranian government, the highest level leadership in the Iranian government, which Trump says doesn't exist, by the way, Iran seems to be being governed well. They have spokespeople, they have a foreign ministry, they have a parliamentary speaker, they have a supreme leader. Trump just lives in denial of these realities. I think he thinks he can run this campaign like a PR, or sorry, run the war like a PR campaign. Iran's powerful parliament speaker, Mohammad Bakir Khalibaf, said no negotiations have been held with the U.S. and fake news is used to manipulate the financial and oil markets. For sure it is. Here's the headline. $580 million in oil bets placed moments before Trump's Iran post. Someone in the White House. I'm not saying Trump is doing this directly. I mean, he might be. Might be his family. Might be people. It's somebody. Somebody in the White House is privy to information about decisions that are being made by the White House. And then they're furiously texting somebody because there's a whole pile of people that keep being on the right side of the bet minutes before Trump opens his mouth and moves global markets, because the markets, for whatever reason, hang on his every word, even though so often he's just making it up as he goes lately. You might think that's TDS. Frank has TDS. Have you watched my previous work? I've said so many good things about the objectives that came out of the campaign in 2024, and about the objectives of the Trump administration, the ideas and the things that they were moving towards. It has nothing to do with TDS. It has to do with reality. This stuff, all of this stuff, if the war ends, even if it ends well for the United States, and I don't see how it can at this point, all of this stuff is going to come back to haunt MAGA. It's going to come back to haunt Trump. It's going to come back to haunt his administration when they're all hauled before Congress, which I think is an outcome that is very likely to happen. But it appears there have been absolutely no talks. Remember all those missiles that Iran is supposedly unable to make and they can't fire them anymore? All their launchers have been blown up. Trump keeps telling us every single day there's no Iranian military. Iranian missiles pound Israel overnight after U.S. claims progress on talks. Tehran appoints Larijani successor. Cuts gas flows to Turkey. The other thing that happened is last night, Iran and the United States, I've been up late and up early 3 days in a row. I'm a little tongue-tied and twisted here. Israel and America bombed energy facilities in Iran, not electrical generation facilities, but gas facilities, a gas storage facility and a gas distribution facility. I'm still waiting to see if Iran responds in kind by hitting refineries in the region, as they've promised to do, whether it was a mistake or not. Qatar Energy declares force majeure on some LNG contracts due to Iran war. The economic disruption. It's so far beyond economics. There's a famine coming as this continues. In 6 to 9 months, food will be worth a lot more in places in the world where the most people live. There will not be enough to go around. This is spring, right now. The fertilizer that comes out of the Middle East is vital to global crop production. The entire world, we built this global economy over the last several decades, and it's increasingly reliant on something called just-in-time delivery, not only of fuel, but fertilizer, helium, vital materials that come out of the Persian Gulf. You have China controlling, I believe, halting exports of fertilizer, if not halting completely, controlling them. Russia has announced similar measures as of today that I read about it. It might have happened last night. Doesn't matter. These things are all developing fast, rapidly, in real time, because they see this disaster coming and they want to protect their economies from it. Less food means more expensive food. Less food means starving people. All as a result of a war that was completely unnecessary. The Iranians were willing to give the Americans everything they wanted. But Israel, as well as, it appears, Saudi Arabia, wanted this battle. Now, why would Saudi Arabia want this war? They view themselves as co-equal with Israel. Their view of the Middle East has changed over the decades, and now they want to rule it alongside their Israeli partners. And a big problem with that is the Iranian government and the Iranian regime behind that Persian shield, all of those mountains along the Persian Gulf. It's the great big shield. That's why empires go there to die. Oh, it's so bad. It's so bad. And Saudi's been fighting a war with Yemen that they can't win for a long time. And the Houthis have not gotten involved as yet in this conflict. Australia facing crunch time as oil shortages begin to hit Asian suppliers. So they've got gas stations in Australia right now tagged and closed because they're out of fuel because of just-in-time delivery, because we've all become dependent on this global system of trade. And when regional wars, when hegemons don't want to yield any territory, when powers get into conflicts, the system starts to break down worse than it did during C-19 when they put the brakes on it. It was amazing how the participants in this so-called free market were able to put things back together after the government broke so much during the C-19 scare. But this is harder to put back together because it involves warfare and destruction of vital infrastructure and the mining of a vital strait and eventually the closure of the Red Sea. These are all very troubling developments. Meanwhile, CBC says with a crucial oil artery block near Iran, can Canada fill the gap in global supply? Well, we can enter into the market. But the thing that we can enter into the market, but we haven't spent the last decade building out infrastructure so we could do so easily. So we're not positioned to maximize our gains on this because we have a very stupid, foolish, anti-national government that loves division, loves multiculturalism, loves the climate scam to the point where it is destructive. Instead of building pipelines and building capacity to sell our products to the world, we oppose it. We're not a serious nation. That remains true no matter what is happening. But CBC, enter Canadian oil and gas, which doesn't pass through the Middle East, has stronger environmental regulations. Who cares about environmental regulations when people are starving to death? That's the only thing I wanted to highlight. CBC is still on a different planet. Report, U.S. malls sending airborne troops to capture Iran's Karg Island. Pentagon reportedly weighing contingency plans to deploy the 3,000 troops from the 82nd Airborne. I'm here to tell you they're already being deployed. The assemblance of ground forces is already well underway. And the delay of Trump's ultimatum, in some ways, I'm not really surprised because bombing their power plants, which, by the way, their powers, I don't know if you've had time to look into this, but if you actually look at their power generation setup, it's very decentralized. Destroying all of Iranian power generation is actually quite hard because they haven't concentrated all of their eggs in one basket. Sure, you can inflict harm by bombing it all, but it's going to take you time, whereas a nation like Israel or a nation like Saudi Arabia, all of their energy facilities are consolidated. and centralized and in one nice, easy location for Iran to rain ballistic missiles down on, which they will do. Their capacity to launch missiles has not decreased. It's only increased as the war's gone on. That's why Hegseth and the administration don't talk about it anymore. Because now we know. Those troops are being assembled. And I believe if they try to capture Karg Island, it's going to be one of the highest casualty events that American forces have faced in a long time. It's a disaster. It's a big mistake. I'll leave it at that. Iranian military vows to fight U.S. and Israel until complete victory. Certainly sounds like they're begging for peace. Certainly sounds like that's what they're going for. You see, they'd be stupid, and I've said this before. Again, it's not about carrying Iranian water. They have been attacked twice under a flag of truce during diplomatic negotiations. The Trump administration, since the start of the war, has been lying through their teeth about just about everything. That's not TDS. That is how it is. They're wrong. And for some reason, people who are in the MAGA cult can't seem to keep score of how many times the man speaks falsehoods and Hegseth speaks falsehoods. I mean, you got to be honest. You got to keep score. In a situation like that, who can trust the Americans? Who can trust Witkoff? Who can trust Kushner? Who can trust Trump at their word? You enter into negotiations, if you enter into negotiations now, as the United States is concentrating ground forces and trying to build this armada to go into the Persian Gulf and seize it, you're basically just giving them time and you're inviting disaster yet again. You're inviting betrayal yet again, whether you love Iran or not. They've been betrayed twice. They've been attacked twice. And that's why it's a good idea to always go with multiple sources of news. See how Russian television is reporting this thing. See how Al Jazeera is reporting it. Have a look at Yonhap or Hong Kong. Look at France 24. Check out how the world is talking about things. Which, by the way, Ukraine turns down U.S. Paradise offer. Zelensky, we haven't talked about this in a long time, but he is still committed to hanging on to power at any cost. And to not ending this war, even as the Russians have resumed their advance. They're breaking through in Kupiansk. This is another thing. Remember how we were told the Iranian government, Zelensky went there and he shot a video in front of the sign for Kupiansk and how they were doing a big counterattack and they were going to push the Russians out? Well, they did their counterattack. It's faltered, and now the Russians are advancing in that region. Every single day, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 square kilometers more Ukrainian territory fall in Russian hands. And I guess for the Ukrainian government, they're lucky that it's such a big country because it's going to take a long time for them to lose far more of their territory than the Russians initially wanted in the first place. I don't actually think I finished a thought, which is no surprise considering the state of my brain right now. I'm very much in a technical mode. I'm not into a world mode. Thankfully, we've been given a week-long reprieve from the bombing of power facilities and the retaliation that will result from that. But here's my concern. Trump set up an ultimatum on Saturday, which would have expired on Monday while markets were open. And we know that the Americans don't like to escalate during the week because of how it will affect markets and oil prices. That's why you could even argue that he set up the ultimatum in the first place the way that he did so that maybe those people who put $500 million into the market could short the market on Monday. It's amazing to me watching this. It's almost like you can't believe it's real. You can't believe it's real the way that war, with people dying all around and money being spent that the United States desperately needs for its own infrastructure and for its own terrible financial picture, being wasted, killing people that really don't need to die. At any rate, delaying on Monday, maybe that was already baked in, but here's the kicker. The new ultimatum expires on the weekend. The Iranians aren't talking. Nobody seems willing to negotiate. I can't blame them for it. They can't trust negotiations. Troops are on the way to the Middle East. The Gerald Ford, while it might be in Cyprus for repairs long-term, which, by the way, what actually happened there? Was it really a laundry fire? I mean, you can almost believe it because the Gerald Ford had toilet problems. You had people sleeping on the floor from this fire, but was it really a fire or did something else happen? We won't know because there's going to be a blackout on every single sailor. I mean, they'll end up in jail if they leak a cell phone video or they tell the truth. There's rumors around that maybe it was hit. Really, no. George H.W. Bush is going to replace it. But the forces are still gathering together. The new ultimatum expires on the weekend, which is the perfect time for escalation. That's how the Americans like to roll. Gives the markets time to digest the damage that's done. At any rate, what can you do? Well, practically speaking, for this particular video, you know that food prices are going to go up. You think they're up now? They're going to go up even more. Maybe less so here in Canada. Won't be as bad, perhaps, as it will be in Asia and other locales, but you can probably count on it going up as fuel costs go up at the very least. So anything that you buy today that you can put on a shelf and eat tomorrow is probably going to save you some time and money. Do the little things. Build resilience. You can't control how the world is going. You can certainly talk about these things. You can certainly share these videos out. Maybe we can reach some people. Maybe we can make enough noise. I know some larger influences do watch my channel at times. And maybe we can make an impact that way, and it can pass all the way up the chain to the very top, and maybe we can get some change out of it. But in the meantime, focus on making yourself resilient. Focus on getting the things that you might need that you may not be able to get in the future. If you're a landscaper, if you're a contractor, if you're an electrician, if you're a tradesman, is there material that you've been putting off buying? Is there a tool that you've been putting off buying? Is there something that you don't want to do because you don't want to spend the money today and you keep waiting? Do you have a truck that you're driving, which is on the verge of breaking down? Maybe think about repairing these things. Maybe think about replacing these things. Do things now while there's availability. I said in the last video, one of the reasons I proceeded with buying a ridiculously expensive computer, because we're paying the AI premium, is because I have this, I don't want to call it a belief, but I have this hunch that it's not going to be about how much money you have to get something. It's going to be whether the something is available. Supply disruptions like I feared would happen during C-19 may be coming and may be baked in for a long time, the longer this war continues. And again, there's the China factor. What is China going to do? As they sit back like Cheshire cats, the rising power, and they watch the American empire slam into the rocky Iranian mountains at a time when the empire cannot afford these things. Every missile that gets fired, every day, every dedication, a ground invasion for sure would be such a hyper-focus of American resources that the opportunity to do something about Taiwan is right there. And even though there would be blowback on the Chinese economy from such an action, the blowback for the West would be much worse. And I read an article the other day about Elon Musk looking at building a chip manufacturing facility in the United States. In the United States, I've talked about in the past how they're trying to draw talent from Taiwan into their chip factories. They're trying to rebuild the American ability to generate superconductors. If there's a move on Taiwan, that will disrupt all of the technology that we become dependent on. I was having a conversation over the weekend with somebody. We're talking about CBDCs, and we're talking about total information awareness and surveillance and AI. If there's no tech, none of that stuff happens because the tech isn't there. That's the big change. I used to think maybe a solar flare would do it because I didn't think the governments of the world were stupid enough to do what we're doing right now. That you'd have a Carrington event level solar flare would nuke all the tech. And that would be the end of the total surveillance grid that they fantasize and salivate about creating. That could just very well be a war destroys that fantasy. It makes it a lot harder to implement. Either way, if there's things that you need to continue producing value, trade your money for those things that can continue to produce value and produce money down the road. Get yourself secure in any way that you can, so that you can weather the storm, so that you can be an island in it. And that's what I'm going to do right now. I'm going to continue making sure that I can keep talking to you. And thank you, by the way, for everything. For the people who like, the people who share, the people who do donate. I appreciate all of you, because every Every single one of those things is a vote of organic confidence. None of it's fake. None of it's contrived. We're not getting the ad revenue from YouTube. We're not getting any help from the algorithm. Whatever we've created here, we've created organically, and I think that is super special, and it's worth investing my time and my energy and my money in to continue to do. I'll see you in the next one.